Good afternoon and welcome to the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee. Today is Friday, April 16th, 2021. It's 1:30 in the afternoon. With us this afternoon is Senator Stevens. Welcome. Thank you for making time for the committee. Also with us is Senator Gray Jackson. Welcome. Senator Holland has had other business to attend to, as does Senator Rivak. So I'm Senator Costello. I'd like to also thank our recording secretary, Carrie, and also our LIO operator, Doug, for making the meeting accessible to the public. And I'd like to welcome Melody, my committee aide, who is going to explain the committee substitute to Senator Kawasaki's retirement incentive program for public employees and teachers. That's one of two items we have on today's agenda. We have also the governor's Senate Bill 123 introduced on his behalf. So with that, Senator Gray Jackson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move for the committee to adopt the committee substitute for Senate Bill number 6, version India, also referred to as 32LS0028/I. Thank you, Madam Chair.
And I'll go ahead and object for the sake of discussion. Melody. Welcome, Senator Rivak. Thanks for making time for the committee today.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. So this is the explanation of changes for the committee substitute to Senate Bill 6, which is the Retirement Incentives Program for Public Employees and Teachers. For the record, this is Melody Wilterdink, staff to Senator Costello. We are going through version I, India. So on the first page, page 1, lines 1 to 4, the first change is made in the title. It's updated to include reemployment of persons who retire under the teacher's retirement system. And then moving past section 1 to section 2, page 2, lines 2 through 10, that section is amended to update the statute under which members are retired from Alaska Statute 14.25.110A to simply 14.25.110. And here, a member means an individual who is both eligible to participate in the retirement plan and is also covered by that plan. Then in section 3, so that's farther down on page 2, lines 11 to 17, it's amended to add a new subsection which specifies that subsections C, D, and E1 of this section do not apply to the rehire of a member who is paid hourly to mentor teachers who have taught for fewer than 4 years. The bill does not actually include subsection C, D, and E1, but those say that in other cases, for the rehire of a teacher who has been retired but is coming back to work full-time as a teacher again, the school district would have to describe a shortage and a need, publicly advertise the position for a certain number of days, make contracts for no longer than 12 months, and provide the administrator of the district with related documentation. For rehiring a teacher to be a mentor on an hourly basis, those stipulations are not necessary. Then on section 4, page 2, lines 18 to 27, that's amended again to update that statute number under which members are retired. Section 5, farther down the page, again amended to update the statute under which members retire, but then moving on to page 3 in lines 1 through 4, same section number 5, that part is amended to specify that the subsection which allows for retired and reemployed members to receive group health plan coverage does not apply to rehired members who are going to be mentors for younger teachers. On section 6, so this is page 3, lines 5 to 13, it's amended to clarify that while each employer must contribute to the retirement system 12.56% of all base salaries paid to active and retired members who are eligible to receive the group health plan coverage. This does not include rehired teachers who are mentoring because they are not eligible to receive that group health plan coverage. Then the following sections are not changed. Sections 7 through 12 have no changes. And then if we get to page 8, where section 13 starts, Sections 13 through 18 are only amended to update the reference numbers for the different sections in the bill that were added in. And finally, section 19 on the last page, page 12, in lines 10 to 13, it's amended to specify that the original portion of the bill, the previous CS, which is sections 1 and 7 through 17, they will be repealed on July 1st, 2024, but the section about teacher mentoring will not be repealed.
Thank you, Melody, and I'll go ahead and remove my objection and adopt the committee substitute unless there's any further objection. Okay. So the new version has been adopted by the committee. So just a point on the committee substitute. So the idea here is that, especially in this environment of COVID where there may be teachers close to retirement who want to retire, they have an option for the early retirement, but then they can actually come back and serve as mentors, whereas previous to this committee substitute, that would not be possible. And we've all heard the value of having teacher mentors, so you're essentially taking that experience that a person has and then allowing them to continue to serve, but just not in the same capacity in the classroom. So with that, thank you for those that explanation, Melody. And I'd like to go ahead and invite the sponsor staff board to see if the committee substitute meets with your approval.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and through the chair, this is Joe Hayes, staff to Senator Scott Kawasaki, and the senator is very happy with the changes, and he has no objections at all.
Okay, thank you very much. I did want to mention that we received two emails, and I wanted to ask the question on behalf of the individual, Scott Andrews, who emailed and asked, confused why the retirement program limits the participation to the PERS TERS members who are 50 years old or older. And we've got Jim Puckett online, who's the Deputy Director of the Division of Retirement and Benefits, and also the sponsor staff here. Joe, did you want to take a stab at that? I mean, is there a reason why the bill is limited to 50 and older?
Yes, and through the chair, Senator Costello, the reason is it's the actuarial cost. It's just plain and simple. It's more expensive. If we looked at a number below 50, it would be more expensive to the retirement system.
Okay. And then the other question that we received had to do with somebody who's in both the personnel retirement system and the teacher retirement system. And essentially, there's only about 15 individuals that have ever tapped into both, is my understanding. And so I'm not sure if the committee wants to hear more about how PERS and TERS individuals would be addressed in this bill. Senator Stevens?
Yeah, I'd certainly like to hear about that. I'm sorry, I haven't really had a chance to really go through the bill. I have some questions about it as well, but that'd be a good starter. I mean, what are we doing? Is this far-reaching so nobody can retire from TERS and then join PERS? Is that what you're saying?
Through the chair, Senator Stevens, no, that's not the situation at all. What the issue was is we were wondering if someone had 10 years in TERS and 10 years in PERS, could they join the two together and retire in 20? And I think Director Puckett would probably be better suited to answer that question.
So the issue for you is a 20-year retirement. And just a factoid is that if someone retires in TERS and then retires in PERS, their higher salary in whichever one, I guess TERS, would be a part of their retirement system. So I just want to make sure we cross all the T's in this bill.
Okay, and Mr. Pickett, thank you for being available today. We had asked this question earlier about, and to clarify, Senator Stevens, it was essentially that a person had accrued time, let's say, as a teacher, and then perhaps became a state employee and then retired in that system. And we asked how the state addresses somebody who's in both, and also in relation to this bill. So, Mr. Puckett, if you could explain that to us, that would be great.
I'll do my best to give you a condensed version. It can get very complicated, but basically, to address the first question, if somebody has 10 years in PERS and 10 years in TERS, they cannot combine those together. They would have to earn two retirements, a retirement from PERS and a retirement from the teachers. There are specific, there is a specific situation where they could retire with some time in one and more time in the other, and that is called a public service benefit. That's only available in AS 3935-375. And unless you have a copy of it in front of you, I would be hesitant to just read it to you. As you well know, when we're looking at legalese language, it can get a little bit confusing unless you're able to pause and read through it. But that's the only situation that's available in both retirement systems where you could have time in one and then credited time in another one, and you could use them together. It's hard to qualify for that. It's very specific. And there is an expense cost in order to do that. And again, my leadership team here, there was only 15 examples that we can think of where somebody qualified and was able to retire through 3935-375. But typically, you cannot match time in PERS with TERS. You have to retire separately from each of those.
Senator Stevens.
So, Mr. Puckett, would there be any advantage to the employee between 10 years TERS retirement, 10 years PERS retirement, and a 20 years in one or the other? Is there any advantage to the employee? Why would they just not take 10 years in each and retire?
There are some restrictions from the IRS on how we can use credited time in each of the systems. They basically have to be kept separate. As I explained earlier, there's that one example in PERS where you can possibly qualify to use a little bit of TERS time, and then you buy the remaining time that you need. But that's the only time that I'm aware of that they can actually take time out of both and be able to qualify for retirement. Generally speaking, in almost all situations, you have to keep the credited time in each separate and retire separately.
So maybe if I could, Madam Chair, take a different approach. What I'm saying is there a disadvantage to the employee in retiring with 10 years in TERS and 10 years in PERS? Is there a disadvantage to the employee? Are they receiving less in retirement than if they had a 20-year retirement?
I'm sorry, I misunderstood your question to begin with. I'm not aware that there'd be an advantage or disadvantage. If a person has 10 years of PERS and they stop working and they go to work in TERS for 10 more years, I'm not sure how that calculates out than if they just stayed in one plan for 20 years.
Well, it seems like a pretty crucial question. I'd like to know the answer to it, the impact on the employee. If they have, in fact, spent 20 years working for the state, whether in TERS or PERS, it seems to me they should have a retirement benefit. And I guess my question to you is, what would be the disadvantage, or would there be any disadvantage to the employee to split it up and do 10 years in PERS and 10 years in TERS, unless I'm misunderstanding what you're talking about, Mr. Puckett?
I'll be more than happy to talk to some of the folks in our processing team and maybe run a couple of scenarios to see if there would be a disadvantage. I'm not sure that there would be. We have to realize that the contribution rate in the TERS is a little higher than it would be for somebody that's working in the public employee retirement system. So that may be a very important factor that we need to consider in that. But I'll be glad to run a couple of scenarios and share the information with the committee if you'd like.
Thank you, Mr. Puckett. It would be nice to have that information. I mean, what comes to mind for me is why does it matter? You know, if a person is employed as a teacher and then becomes, an employee of the state, it seems like perhaps we could work through that so that we're not, for a person who perhaps switches careers, it's not a disadvantage to them. But so I appreciate your question, Senator Stevens. And Joe, did you have anything to add to that?
Through the chair, Senator Costello, I remember many years ago when I was in another position in this building, and we had a constituent who had this problem, and they had, I think, 10 years in PERS, and I think exactly 10 years in TERS, and my previous representative tried to work with them, and we couldn't come up with a solution to get them a retirement. So I've seen this before, and we couldn't come up with a solution, so it's probably going to need some type of legislative fix.
Thank you. Are there any further questions of the committee? Senator Stevens?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Joe, this is really an unfair question, but where is this legislation coming from? Who's requiring it? Who's requesting it? Is it like unions or teachers' unions or... where is it coming from? Can you tell us that?
Through the chair, Senator Stevens, it's primarily we've gotten a lot of requests for this from teachers, yes. But municipality employees are looking at this, university employees, because, you know, a lot of folks are looking at our fiscal situation and morale with how folks are being let go. And they thought this was a cleaner solution to let people walk away who are more senior and hiring younger folks and save the state some money. So that's ultimately how this came to be.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate that comment, Joe, and I appreciate knowing more about it. And I understand what Mr. Pickett is saying. In general, the TERS, the Teachers Retirement System, is more generous than the public employee system, and it's paid off in a different way. Investments from the percentage is different, I know. So it's going to be a very complex thing to try to figure out. I see why you haven't reached a solution yet.
Okay. Well, thank you, Senator Stevens. I'm going to take a brief at ease. Okay, Senate Labor and Commerce Committee is called back to order. Senator L.B. Gray Jackson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move the committee substitute for Senate Bill No. 6, Version India, also referred to as 32LS0028/I, be advanced from the committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Is there any objection to moving the bill? Okay. So the bill will move. We will have the members sign the document. Joe, thank you for being here. Appreciate the efforts of Senator Kawasaki to bring this forward, and also appreciate that he liked the committee substitute.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and the rest of the committee.
Next, we have Senate Bill 123. This is the Energy Independence Program and Fund with the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority. This was the bill that the governor introduced, creating a green bank. We have online Morgan Neff, who's the Chief Investment Officer of ADA. We have Chris Rose, the Executive Director of the Renewable Energy Alaska Project. We have Jeff Shubb, who's the Executive Director of the Coalition for Green Capital, and then Bert Hunter, who's the Executive Vice President and Chief Investment Officer of the Connecticut Green Bank. So we have those individuals online. Do the members of the committee have any questions for them? The intent was to move this bill out today. Any question or any comments? Okay. Senator Gray Jackson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. SB 127 version 32-OS-1074/A be advanced from the committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes. Madam Chair, I apologize. I move SB 123 version 32... Thank you, Madam Chair.
Is there any objection to moving Senate Bill 123 from committee? Okay, seeing none, the bill moves and we will have the members sign the documentation. This concludes our meeting this afternoon. Our next meeting will be Monday, April 19th at 1:30. At that meeting, we will consider the governor's Senate Bill 93, health insurance, all payer claims database, and bills previously heard. So with that, we are adjourned.